Welcome to the Down and Dirty Podcast, the ultimate guide to modern midlife dating. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I'm here to help you navigate the challenges of today's dating world. Think of me as your female version of Hitch, but better. With over 16 years of experience as a certified image consultant and dating coach, I've got the inside scoop on what women want. In this podcast, we're diving deep into the world of healthy masculinity and modern dating. It's a fast-changing industry, and here you'll find personal stories, expert insights, and candid conversations that will empower you to take control of your dating life. There's never been a better time to achieve your desired outcome, whether it's marriage, finding a significant other, securing a life partner, or simply regaining your dating confidence. We're here with you twice a week to explore the viewpoints and challenges in today's dating arena that resonate with every man seeking dating success and love. So let's dive into today's episode. We've got an exciting discussion lined up for you. Get ready for the double D's of dating, where dating dilemmas turn into dating triumphs. Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast, where we dive deep into the stories that shape us and discover how these stories lead us to healing and strength. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and joining us today is an incredibly inspiring individual who has transformed deep personal pain into a powerful force for helping others. His name is Jason Ward, and at the age of 6, he was deeply affected by his parents' divorce and father's subsequent abandonment, which left lasting scars of anger, resentment, jealousy, and unworthiness. These experiences had unknowingly cast shadows over his life until his own marriage ended, prompting him to seek healing through intensive therapy, hypnotherapy, understanding his own psychology, and learning about self-awareness. This journey of self-discovery helped him overcome past traumas, transforming his pain into a source of strength. Now he is committed to guiding others through their struggles, empowering them to heal and thrive before they too hit rock bottom. His mission is to help individuals emerge from their darkest times into their fullest potential. Welcome, Jason. Thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me, Celeste. I'm so honored to be here with you.
I'm so excited to, and obviously, I'm so excited to know what you do right now, but we all have a story and we all have a past and what helped us get through that journey. And sometimes that's hard to go back and talk about. So I appreciate you being vulnerable and opening up to the audience here so that they can, you know, maybe someone's going through something that they don't understand about themselves and they can, you know, relate something back to your story. So thank you.
Yeah, definitely. No, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure. And I mean, the more people that I could help to not have to go through the hard times that I have, I think this world would definitely be a better place.
I agree. And I really can't, I'm really like happy and proud of the men in this space who have really, they're really trying to redefine masculinity and teach the younger generation or even teach the people that are around our age that it's okay to be vulnerable. It's okay to seek help. And so we'll definitely jump into that here in a minute, but it's just, I want to honor you for that. So that's a big thing. And I want you to know as a woman, I appreciate that.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah. So can you take us back to maybe your earliest memories of feeling the impact of your parents' divorce and how those feelings kind of manifested as you grew up?
Yeah. Well, you know, as a kid, you just kind of don't even know what's going on. You just don't get it. You just know that things aren't what they were. You just know that mom and dad aren't together, you know, that kind of a thing. So you're kind of left in the dark, which is understandable because you're not going to get it. Not at 6 years old, not even at 16 years old, you know? So my parents did what they could. They kind of tried to hide things from me, but you can only hide so much, you know? But then what actually happened was mom and dad split, dad had some visitation rights, and then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there waiting for dad to pick me up, never showed up. And I never heard from him again for, I think it was approximately 12 years, something like that.
Wow.
When I was 19 years old. Yeah. So like 12, 13 years. and I was 19, and he was going through his second divorce. And he figured, oh, I'm going to give him a call. And he just went ahead and he actually blamed it on the second wife, saying that, oh, it's either me or the kid, because he doesn't like me. I'm like, what? I was 6, 7 years old. What are you talking about? And it's not my mom. Why would I, like, all of a sudden just, you know? And this woman was a school teacher. So I knew deep in my heart that what he's telling me is just a line of BS. And later on, I actually contacted her, and she was furious to know that he blamed all this stuff on her. And she was always wondering why it is that I was never around ever again, and so on and so on. So it was kind of interesting for me to find out all these things. But yeah, it was that moment just caused so much. It was just an abandonment. It was, I'm not worthy. Of course, you don't know these things, but later on in life, I feel, you know, like I'm an angry person. As I'm growing up, I'm just like this. I don't know. I could never really keep friends very well. Like, I had friends, but, you know, like, they would come and go a lot. I was just an angry person. I would, when I was in a relationship, I could easily get jealous. I would fall for the person really easily, really fast, all kinds of, you know, just stuff that shouldn't be. And I never understood. I could never figure out why, but I never really dug into it either at that time. But it wasn't, you know, until later on in life, and I'm dealing with, you know, I'm not going to say it was a horrible marriage, but we just weren't clicking. We weren't in the right place. And there were definitely a lot of issues that weren't good on both sides of us. And I did get the divorce, which is something that I never wanted to do. I'm actually having guilt thinking like, oh my gosh, I'm going to turn into my dad, all this stuff. And I go and I do therapy. I'm doing hypnotherapy, which really did a big number on me. That was a huge thing for me to really dig deep. I was learning psychology, but I learned all these things about, oh, now I get why I would feel this way and I would do this because of something that happened 30 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever, because it triggered things. And it's all subconscious. You don't even actually know what's going on, you know, and once I was able to get these things figured out and start working through these things and start putting two and two together and then four and four together and then 18 and 62 together, you know, all this stuff, everything started adding up. Everything started becoming so much more clear. And then I could basically like start over. And I've learned so many different techniques and so many different ways to get through stuff with actually rewiring the brain to not have those triggers happen like they used to, and to have things be a much more clear way and a much more logical and informed and better way. Yeah. And it's made a world of difference.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I can just see your story on paper, but I can hear it in your voice and see where you're at now. And it's truly amazing. But could you tell me, was there a turning point, or was there a point in your life that you're like, I have got to seek out some type of therapy, some type of, and I know you kind of briefed over it a little bit, but what was that moment for you? Was it prior to your marriage, or was it your marriage ending?
Actually, it was actually after my marriage.
Okay.
And I was in a relationship with a very physically and emotionally and verbally abusive woman that just was just running my life. And that relationship, even though there were plenty of, when I look back, there were a lot of red flags and signs and everything that should have been really clear to me, but it was that relationship that made me say, okay, man, what the F are you doing? you really need to figure stuff out. You can't be with anybody else. You need to figure out your brain. You need to figure out your emotions. You need to figure out everything that's going on inside of you, because this is hell. Mm-hmm. And you are putting yourself through hell. And honestly, I can't blame anybody but me.
How old were you?
41.
Okay.
So that was, I mean, it was when I really got into everything, because I kind of did after my marriage, you know, and stuff like that. But no, I'm sorry, 42. So yeah, so this was, it was 8 years ago. So I'm just about to turn 50.
Nice. It's a good age.
And yeah, it was, I kind of would try to do some stuff, and I've done, you know, therapy here and there. And personally, therapy never just seemed to work. It was always like just so slow. It never seemed to get me anywhere. You know, that 1 hour thing, it just made me feel like this person is just waiting for the hour to be over to get my $150 and move on. And then they're just want to make sure that I'm going to be here next week and so on. I never seemed to get anything out of it. So for me, therapy was like hit or miss. I would try it for a little while, maybe do a month or two, and then I'm like, this is pointless.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try it again because I'm dealing with stuff. But so once I dealt with that whole shit show, hope I can put that on here.
Yeah, you can be raw on here.
Good, because I'm like, I'm trying to like censor myself a lot.
Go be you.
All right, good. I'm going to be raw. It was an absolute shit show. I ended up in about $80,000 of credit card debt. She ended up getting arrested. She was facing federal charges on things that she was doing. Yeah, she was like, it was getting bad. And I was paying for like lawyers and stuff. Her kids got taken away and given to the dad, all kinds of things. It was bad. It got really bad. And
how long were you in that situation?
I'm going to say it was just over a year.
Okay. Long just enough.
It was long enough.
Or
it
too
was,
long, I should say.
Yeah. It was just over a year. So it was about a year and a week too long.
Yeah. So you said that therapy really kind of wasn't the healing modality for you. What were the therapies or practices that you found to be useful?
So when I found hypnotherapy, that definitely seemed to help. It dug into my subconscious and into just some of these things to just become more aware to much faster than typical therapy ever did. And a lot of people think like, oh, they put you to sleep and you're not in control of yourself and all that other stuff. But none of that is true. Mm-hmm. It's just that if you get a good hypnotherapist and they work with you, you are able to dig into your own mind to bring up things that were buried. Mm-hmm. You're very aware of everything that's going on. You can stop any minute. You can get up and walk away if you wanted to. You know, nobody's going to make you cluck like a chicken when they snap their fingers. Nothing like that. Mm-hmm. It's not that at all. So there is a big misconception about that. But anyway, that made a huge difference. That helped me to become more aware. And then as I started working with other doctors, I started working with Dr. Alec Trivedi, Dr. Rewire. And he really helped me to understand a lot that's been going on with me too, and how to work through and work out all of these issues and stuff. And I've been actually working with him and learning his stuff. And I have, just as of recently, have become one of his, I forget the particular word, but I'm able to do his work.
The Rewire work.
Yes, under his name. Like, I can actually say, yes, I am going to do Dr. Rewire work on you.
That's amazing. I loved him at BYBL. He was phenomenal.
Yes, yes. So I have successfully passed his courses.
Yay! I'm
able to rewire my own self, and I can help rewire others. So that's wonderful. And I have also just recently, there's a technique called neuro-linguistic programming. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're aware of this, but it's basically, it's the language of the brain, neuro-linguistic, the language mm-hmm. of the brain. And it's to help with the programming of the things that go on in that. And I have just now recently become a licensed practitioner, NLP practitioner.
That's so amazing.
Yeah. All of the techniques with people and all my clients. So
look at you sprouting up and self-growth and doing your thing. I love that.
Right?
So excited for you. Yeah. They both go very well together.
Yeah.
NLP yeah. and Dr. Rewire. Yeah.
Yeah. They have a similarity, the two of them, but uh-huh. they are also very different. So depending on the client and exactly what's going on and stuff, I can kind of pick and choose and go with what is going to come together better mm-hmm. for each person and hopefully get better results all the way around, you know?
Yeah. I love that you, like I said, that you're so vulnerable and open and about your own experiences, and that truly has completely transformed you into and directed you into the path that you are today.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still such a stigma around men seeking mental help or support.
Oh,
and
yeah.
to me, that is just like, it's jaw dropping because I feel that still today. And how are you able to, you know, be the example for men trying to seek help?
Yes, I absolutely agree. It's definitely an issue. A lot of people, they get raised with this masculinity of your feelings need to get covered up. Your feelings don't matter. You need to bury them. You know, whatever it is that happened, you need to just push it aside and just move on anyway. You know, and the truth is when you do that, that is the thing that messes with your psychology. It's even though it's buried, you may not ever think about it again, but what's happening is your brain, it'll see an event and it'll see where this event is going and it'll remember things that happened in the past and it'll trigger these thoughts of, oh, this happened before. So we know what's going to happen as this is going. So we have to go and do this and we have to go and do that and stuff like that. So you don't know it, but your brain is already saying, oh, we got to protect you and go and do this thing or run this way or get mad and fight and whatever. And it's just not a good thing. So by taking all of those emotions that were going on and you work through them and you get a better clarity about that, and then that will now make you to be a better man and to be a much more clear-headed and calm and logical person to deal with all the issues that come along in your life.
Yeah, and unfortunately, because men have been, you know, sent a message from society to, you know, take it like a man, like don't cry, don't do all this. And the rise of suicide levels are extremely up there, and the domestic abuse has risen, and it's all because men have not been able to find a space to allow them to deal and heal with pain and tragedy and, you know,
exactly
trust issues and abandonment issues and everything else that they have to deal with, just like women. But they have been told for so long to, like you said, shove it down, put it away, lock it up in a box. Well, let me tell you, that box is not locked. It's just bubbling and bubbling and bubbling until something happens and explodes.
Yeah, exactly. You end up hanging on to resentment that you don't even realize. You have fear that a lot of people, especially men, they're not going to admit that they have fear. So they're going to put on this fake mask where they're brave. And, you know, the truth is that's what gives them the anger that they have. They try to blame other people for things, the abuse, the, you know, for absolutely no good reason. And when it comes to relationships too, because of the fact that they've been taught to hold back all of their feelings, they're never vulnerable. to their spouse, to their partner. You know, they're never being open. They're never talking to and being like that true, authentic self of them. They have to come across with this, oh, I'm going to be this, this, this. And now you have to this, this, this. And if this doesn't all happen, then things are bad and so on, whatever. It's not that way at all. The truth is you need to be vulnerable. You need to open up and you need to have that person that you can trust to be open to. That person needs to trust you. And if you're always putting on this facade, then they're never going to trust you. They always have to feel guarded. You know, you have to have that openness back and forth. And in order to feel comfortable with being open, you need to get through all the past crap that you've gone through. You know, so it's, there's kind of a catch 22 all the way around, but.
You did make a really, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, it's totally fine.
You made a great point because I was going to bring this up. A man needs to feel safe and trusted and in a space with someone, just let's use a partner, for example, just like a woman needs to feel safe and protected and vulnerable in a little bit different ways. But you're right. It has to be on both sides. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times men hear vulnerability as a word and they're, I don't think I have to cry. There's this education around it that's not true. That means they have to cry or they have to be feminine or they have to, you know, show signs of not who they are. But it's really about listening and dropping into your heart and talking about the feeling, communicating the feeling to your partner, the other person in your life. That's what it means to be vulnerable in that moment and trust the person that they're going to hear you for what you're saying and still love and support you and not abandon you or judge you or,
Yeah, it can be difficult to get through to men. It definitely can. But once you get a man to understand and once you get a man to get through it, they understand and realize that, oh, being vulnerable doesn't make you less of a man. It actually makes you more of a man because you're able to take care of and deal with so much more, you know. With the suicides, people are doing it because they can't handle it. They can't deal with, they can't whatever in their lives. And by learning how to take care of all your emotions, to learn how to work through them all, to learn how to deal with them properly, it definitely makes it so you can get through everything. You can take care of things. Yeah. Anxiety, depression, you name it. It's all workable. It's all doable. And you don't need drugs to do it, you know? So
it's such a strong message because it's so sad to know that these men that are in this space thinking just to end their lives is the only option.
Yeah.
Because they can't or they haven't been exposed to people that could help them and feel trusted. It's such a sad place. And thank you for all the men in this world that are doing what you're doing. And thank you for you for being able to share your experiences and know that there is a different outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, that's huge. And I think people need to really hear that there are people that want to truly, from their heart and their own experiences, help. And you're one of them. And I would love for you, if you have a certain memorable like success story that how you've helped someone get through their dark times, if you don't mind sharing. You don't have to say names or anything like, you know, that, but is there something that you could share with the audience here?
Well, actually, there is a guy that comes to mind. He's a military veteran. He did two tours in Iraq. So he has PTSD from that. He came home to dealing with a lot in his marriage. He got very heavy into drinking. He ended up going through a divorce and basically getting raked over the coals. He ended up losing his license for getting a couple DUIs. He was in a really, really, really bad place. He pretty much had nowhere to live. His car was locked up. He couldn't do much of anything. I helped him to get sober. It wasn't me that got him sober. He has to do all the work. He really got serious with AA, and I helped him with all of that stuff. I helped him with relationships. I helped him with a lot of the PTSD that he had going on. He now has his license back. He's very happy about that. He's been clean and sober now for, I think it's a year and a half, if I have it right. Could be close to 2 years, but he's definitely made a huge change in his life. He even has his own place. He's got his own apartment that he's living in now on his own. But he's definitely working to put his life back together. And he's now helping other veterans that have been dealing with a lot of PTSD and alcoholism and helping those as he's going through his journey. So that's
awesome.
That's probably one of my proudest clients that I have, that I'm proud of, just because of where he's come from and now what he's doing for others. So
that's amazing. It's really like you can see the full circle when that happens.
Yeah. So I'm so happy for him and I love it. And I stay in touch with him regularly and we talk quite a bit. Yeah. So
it's awesome that he had you, because like you said, that was a dark place. And I know that a lot of veterans struggle coming and assimilating back after a war. I personally have never been to war, but my family was in the service. So yeah, it can be very intense. So I'm grateful that he had you. So can you share some maybe daily practices for maybe mindset or things that men can do to maintain their emotional health, or things that you would recommend, something that maybe they could practice doing so that they can work through some of these things?
Yeah, absolutely. Meditation is a big thing. And there's even a lot of misconceptions about meditation. A lot of people think that things get really woo-woo and you got people playing the diggity-doo whatever stuff going on. And it's not about that. It's just being able to just be silent in your own self and to just clear your mind and to just, and it's really more about mind control. And it's learning how to control your mind. And it's learning, knowing that your mind can get crazy and being aware of it and how to catch it before it gets too far and bring it back. You know? And that can be a huge thing, just doing simple practices like that. You can do even like a 5 minute a day thing. You can do guided meditations. You can find them on YouTube all over the place, get an app for it, whatever. Also, journaling can be a huge deal, just to get those thoughts that you have and to just write them all out. You can actually see them a little more clearly. You can actually realize a lot of different things. Even if people don't have the time, like that, those are both good things to do in the morning. You can also do them at night, and you can literally take 5 minutes, like just before you're about to fall asleep, jot down a few things, do a real quick meditation just to help calm yourself down, you know?
Yeah.
Put away your phone, put away everything. Just, you can even have Alexa do like play a meditation or something, whatever. But those simple things just on a daily basis can be very calming and clearing.
Yeah. Those are great tools, actionable steps. I would say one thing that I've learned over the years is to at least write down 3 wins that you had for the day if you're going to do it at night.
Yes. Yes. In fact, that's one of the things that popped into my head. Like, you could have a horrible day and you could see absolutely no good that came out of it. But if you can just come up with 3 things, like, oh, that's right, I got dressed. That was a plus. I took the dogs for a walk and fed them. That was good. They're still alive. So yeah. You know, simple things like that. Just something simple. Yeah.
Right. And it's just retraining the brain to, you know, have gratitude practices and have, let's think about the wins, not the, you know, especially when people are in such a mess, like your friend or your client that went through all of these things. Yeah. When you look at all of that, that's a shit storm.
Yeah.
But if he broke down, let's just say even a couple hours, like what happened in those 3 hours that were good or I achieved. And that's a really great way to put it. It can be simple, like getting dressed or taking the dogs out.
And honestly, that is one of the great things about the process that I learned with Dr. Rewire is it's, you could have one of the most horrific things going on. And so one of the practices you do is to take, I'm just going to use me as a quick example. My dad never showing up again, right? My dad abandoning him. Now I need to make a list of 50 or 100 benefits of that, you know? And it's one of the things when you learn this whole thing is you realize that everything that happens in life, there's actually no good or bad. It only reason it is either good or bad is because of the emotion that we put to it, you know? So when my dad left and my dad decided he didn't want to, what the whole thing was is he didn't want to be a dad anymore, right? To him, that was a good thing. He didn't have to worry about me anymore. He didn't have to deal with me. He didn't have to have that extra responsibility. To him, it was good. To me, it's bad. So that situation, it depends on the person. To the average person, it didn't affect them at all. But then for me to look at many reasons why it was a good thing. So number one, I didn't have that asshole in my life mentoring me and getting his mindset and his ways. I mean, he's been divorced 4 times and he's single now, you know?
Yeah. he didn't deal with his issues.
Right. Exactly. You know, like I could come up with so many different things because it brought me into the direction where I am right now to have all the stuff that I've learned to be able to help the people in the way that I am. I wouldn't be doing that if he was part of my life, you know? So I have a list of all the benefits. And so it can also go the other way. If you won the lottery, okay, give me a list of 50 reasons why winning the lottery is bad. You know, what are the drawbacks to winning the lottery? Oh, well, now every person in your family is coming and being your best friend all of a sudden. You're going to end up spending a lot of money on stupid things that, you know, you'll never use. People can go party like crazy, get addicted to drugs, kill them, die, whatever. I mean, the list can go on and on. But it's this whole thing of, okay, there's good, there's bad, but that all is happening because I am making it that way. So when you have a shit day, if you go and rewire your brain, you can find, okay, that horrible thing that happened, there's good that came out of it. That car accident that happened, well, the car insurance is buying me a new car and I could have used a new car anyway because it needed to get some service work and whatever done anyhow. And you know what? I'm going to get that other car that I've been wanting. So yeah, that'll be a good thing. You know, like all these different things.
It's rewiring the brain.
Yeah. And it's really an amazing thing that I've learned. And it's really changed my life. It really, truly has. Yeah.
I'm so happy for you. I really am. And like you said, you can probably say probably close to 200 things what went great in your life from your childhood.
Oh, yeah. And the longer you live, the more things you see and the more you realize, oh yeah, all right, I'm liking this.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is realizing that everything that goes on in the universe is perfect.
I like that.
I know there's a lot of people who could come up with a lot of different things to throw at me, but in all honesty, everything that happens is perfect.
I like that. Thank you for sharing that. So last question before we close out and before I give you a space to talk about if there's anything I missed, what was one of your favorite dates and what was it?
One of my favorite dates was January 12th, 2019. That is our first date me and my fiance Viviani, and it has been the most amazing relationship I have ever been in. And I can honestly tell you that I never honestly felt worthy enough to have a relationship of what I'm in with her right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
And why is that?
The way that we get along, the way that we're able to connect, the way that we have been able to take all of the issues that we've had in the past, all the traumas, all the bullshit, to make ourselves better people and to become more understanding of each other and to be more communicative with each other, to be more open, to be just more loving and receptive, understanding. We still have our issues. We'll still argue, but we're so much easier than any other time I've ever. We've been able to come back and to work and to talk and to work things out and to be wonderful and loving and end up actually being stronger.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I know you both, and you guys are just beautiful souls, and I can tell you've met your person. And just for those listening out there, it is very possible to meet your person when you are truly who you are, like when you are truly authentic and in knowing that you will attract your person. And I just think that's a beautiful, beautiful story. And I'm so happy you guys found each other.
Well, and I will tell you guys, because nobody believes that it's ever possible, but we met on Tinder.
Yeah, yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Tinder is not just a hookup site, guys. Okay. But you can find lasting love.
Absolutely.
I love that story. So is there anything that I did not ask you that you want to share with the audience, or is there anything coming up for you that you would like to share?
There's nothing really specific that's coming up. I am just doing everything I can to better myself in every possible way so I can be better for others. So by the time somebody hears this, I'm sure more things have come along. So all I can say is, if there's anything that anybody hears or sees or whatever and is interested in, by all means, get a hold of me.
How can people get a hold of you?
Okay, so hopefully by the time somebody hears this, my website will be up and running. I don't know when it'll be. The guy has been, he's actually been in the hospital, so I'm not putting a rush on it. I just hope the guy's okay. It'll be up whenever it's up, but it's jdubcoaching.com. But I'm also on Instagram at jdubcoaching. I can be emailed, jdubcoaching@gmail.com. But yes, find me, get a hold of me, talk to me, DM me. Jason Ward is on Facebook. Yeah.
And you and I are both speaking on our first stage. Is it your first stage?
It is.
It's my first stage too. And awesome. September 26th, guys, in Las Vegas. If you're interested, I'm going to put this in the show notes too. You can check it out. Come buy a ticket and see this. There's, I don't know, maybe 8 powerhouse speakers, and we are 2 of them. And you don't want to miss this, because we were going to bring so much value to this group. Yes. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited to be on that stage and hopefully many others soon.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. We got to spread the message, right? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I want to get the message out there and to just let people know that, hey, help is available. Hey, people that understand, and hey, there are ways to get things done and to do it in a timely manner. You know, like, I just have to say again, like, for me, and I know a lot of people feel this way, therapy can be slow. And I'm not going to be against therapy necessarily, because it has its place. But there are just so many more better and more effective things. Unfortunately, health insurance doesn't want to pay for that. But whatever, we're not even going to go there.
That's a whole nother hour or two.
Oh, gosh. But whatever about that whole thing. But yes, therapy, it has its own place, and it can be good in some cases. But I'm just telling you guys, there are so many more options. And there is just so many more ways. And please contact me. Let me know what I can do to help. I will, if I can't, I can probably get you to somebody who can. So yeah.
That. Yeah, thank you. Well, this has truly been a profound and enlightening conversation. And I hope this discussion today has resonated with you guys out there. And thank you, Jason, for sharing your story and being vulnerable and showing what that looks like to other men listening today. But until next time, keep striving, keep healing, and keep growing, and take care, everyone.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode and want to support podcasts like ours, then please hit that subscribe button, leave a 5-star rating, and or invite others to listen. Your support is what helps us grow and continue to bring you valuable content. Thanks for hanging out with us on today's episode. Let's stay connected. You can find me on Instagram at @CelesteMoreImage, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's discussion. For all the links, resources, and additional information mentioned in this episode, check out the show notes on my website, CelesteMoore.com. That's all for now, but stay tuned for our next episode where we'll dive into more exciting topics. Until then, see you next time, friends.